You're listening to Phraseology Plus AI with your hosts and guides, Philippe Santos and Miguel Santos. Follow us as we uncover everything you need to dominate search rankings and increase your online visibility. Get information bridging SEO and digital marketing with artificial intelligence, staying updated on the latest tools, technologies, and strategies to make sure you're always one step ahead. Phraseology is the podcast show to keep you in the know. Without further delay, let's get into the episode. Stay tuned for the entire conversation so you don't miss the tips and secrets and any bespoke advantages that AI can offer for your business. This future might seem scary, but we will demystify quite a bit and help you stand out in your own pursuits. For anyone who doesn't know this man, he's an established entrepreneur, authority on e-commerce, dynamic speaker, and all-around entertaining professional, for sure. Even more than that, he spent more than two decades in digital, so that's pretty impressive. He's also out there selling into the eight figures within e-commerce and seven figures with digital products. John's really come from humble beginnings as a high school dropout and now a juggernaut in e-commerce. I'd also like to kind of say this because I'd be at a loss if I didn't mention that John's pretty much everywhere expressing and giving out expertise and giving out advice and kind of working with some of the most notable companies. He's also been at some pretty big events like South by Southwest, at the White House, and in over 13 countries, he's had his footprint. He's also worked with Accenture. Tell me if I'm missing anything, but like American Express, UPS, FedEx, eBay, and probably countless others.
Yeah.
Wasn't already impressive enough, John's a best-selling author of the book, Kick-Ass Social Commerce for E-Nerds, made for entrepreneurs and small businesses to thrive in the digital age. So definitely pick that up. We've, believe it or not, known each other for slightly more than a decade, which is a little insane. And every time we chat, John's been kind of expeditiously building an empire of knowledge and kind of professional pursuits. So I have to bring that up. And now he gets to bring you all for the ride as we explore AI's impact and kind of how to win as an entrepreneur and as a marketer. So with that, I'll let you kind of kick it off a little bit about anything you want to say, John.
Wow, man. You know, that was great. I want to meet this guy. I don't know who this guy is. I live with him every day and don't even know all that stuff. But no, I'm teasing. No, I mean, hey, I'm just an open book. I'm really here just to hopefully set aside some of the fears and trepidation or, you know, the questions that people have when it comes to AI in our field of e-commerce. You know, whatever you want to talk about, let's just jump in. I don't care.
Sounds good. Well, yeah, I've always known you to kind of like really be on top of your stuff and really know exactly what's going on. You've got like that pulse in check. So I guess let's start from the fundamental changes in e-commerce from AI. I think that's a good section to like kind of start this off. Some of the thinking that might help others. And one of the first areas I think I'd like to concentrate on, kind of think about is maybe some of the top five uses maybe that you can think of that, you know, SMBs can use with regard to AI right now.
Yeah, sure. You know, here's the thing, man, especially in our, you know, a lot of times when I'm talking AI, I'm talking to general small business people, right? But since this audience is mostly e-com, right? So here's the deal. We've had AI and e-com forever, right? I mean, literally, if I had to think of an industry that grew up with AI, it would be the e-commerce industry, right? And what do we think about it, right? Personalized product recommendations. You know, we see that all the time on Amazon, right? My Amazon feed is different from your Amazon feed. And the reason why that is because Amazon has been using AI to give personalized product recommendations to each individual person. Now, that kind of technology was so advanced and expensive that only the big boys like Amazon could really get into it. But now, thanks to the ability to do things with ChatGPT and the APIs on the back end, we can do personalized recommendations just like that. So AI can analyze the individual customer's behaviors, their preferences, you know, their old purchase histories, and provide much more highly relevant product suggestions. So as opposed to, just sending out general emails, you know, hey, you bought this, how about buying that, just because we know you're a male. Now we can get even deeper and make the recommendations, you know, because you're a male, because you live in this part of the country, because you're this age group, because you're this, I don't know how to say it, you know, because you're black, you know, I don't know how to say it right. You know what I'm it saying? But, you know, you like hip hop or you like this kind of music. All of those things before used to be hard for us to take into account when making recommendations for customers that have already purchased with us. And now we can do that. We can take into account all of the information people have given us in their private, well, not private, but public profiles on social media, and actually pull that data in and use that to help give them recommendations that are very, very tailored to that individual. Another thing is customer chatbots. Right? Chatbots for customer service. But I mean, I remember, if you think about it, you know, chatbots, when they first got on the scene, they were very stoic. You would have to literally write in a pathway for people to just like ask this question. If they say yes or no, we're going to go this way. And then ask this question based on that question. They used to have to do that. But now AI powered chatbots can handle a large volume of customer inquiries. They're open 24/7 and you don't have to give them coffee breaks. You know what I'm saying? So that is amazing, to be able to provide instant responses to common questions and help people with things like order tracking. I mean, the number one question people, almost all of us, have to deal with on e-commerce platforms is, where's my stuff, right? Order tracking, right? Or escalating issues. You know, maybe they have something that really does need a human agent. Then we can have these chatbots that do the escalation process so that we are not taking all the inquiries, but only the ones that actually need human touch. So those are just a couple of the ways that we can actually implement this today in SMBs.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, obviously, who else here is a big Amazon buyer? But every single time you deal with a chatbot, it's most of the time pretty good experience and pretty clear. Just a couple times you may need a human agent. So that's a really good way that business is kind of keeping it efficient and also helping customers quickly via their mobile app. It's a really good point there, John. I'm also like, you kind of segued perfectly into how personalized shopping experiences have been and kind of how they're transitioning. Maybe take that a little bit further and let me know what you think has really been a solid change in the last year since like AI has been a little bit more accessible.
You know, I mean, it depends on who's using it, right? For me personally, I mean, I'm able, you know, before we used to do the segmentation and we would still, you know, segment our audiences based on commonalities, but it was still pretty broad. So now we can actually segment to one, true one-to-one personalization. So instead of grouping customers into these broad categories, AI is allowing us to create individual profiles that's completely based on very granular data points like the browsing behavior, purchase history, product affinities that they like, price sensitivity, and all of this kind of stuff. It allows us to hyper-personalize the experience with every touch point that we're dealing with customers, from the content we provide them, from the offers that we might give them, from the pricing that we could give them. It's tailored to the individual. And here's the killer part. It's done in real time. So AI can actually analyze, take those factors into account, and literally spit it out in an instant. And I can't believe we're here. Out of all the things, honestly, I used to tell people, man, I don't feel like we're living in the future, up until maybe 2 years ago. You know, once ChatGPT got released and all this stuff started coming out with the APIs, I mean, like, I finally feel like I'm living in the future, other than the phone. Okay, yeah, the phone has been pretty cool. But everything else, it's like, I don't have the flying car. I don't have the personal robots, you know, all those things. But now I see it. We're here. It's coming. It's right around the corner, and I'm excited about it.
Well, we're definitely going to get into that a bit, like how somewhat scary it is, but also how it's a great opportunity right now. So there's a combination of those thoughts, but I'd love to like kind of pick your brain a bit along those lines. So like these chatbots and the virtual assistants, all these things that big companies are using, how can like smaller businesses kind of harness that power and also perform better? Because I think a lot of them are kind of either maybe intimidated or don't know how to start.
Yeah, I mean, okay. There are services that will build a chatbot for you, okay? Chatbots and virtual assistants used to be seen as a tool that only large enterprises could actually afford. And now it's become very, very accessible to businesses of all sizes. And that's really thanks to the advancements in natural language processing, NLP, right? And the availability of affordable AI platforms. So what used to cost thousands of dollars, you can probably get built for a couple of $200-$300 to have a chatbot on your site that's trained only on your, you know, product data and is limited to just that information. So it's not connected to any other, you know, you can't have it pull data from, you know, its mass databases. But also you could also just limit it to just here's what, you know, the information that you're being able to access from our website. So for small businesses, these tools can provide an always on and a scalable way to engage your customers and provide support. So I think what you really kind of want right now is a way for common questions to be answered about your products, your policies, and customer orders. If we can just get that started, I think that's the place where you want to start, right? And then after that, we can go into providing personalized product recommendations based on customer input. If they got questions, you know, or if they're like, you can have it ask them questions about what their preferences are and then make recommendations. It can actually do that. It can help customers navigate your website to help them find what they're looking for. All kind of cool stuff that is available to us right now for just if you're tech savvy, you can build it yourself, or literally you can go out to these platforms like Fiverr and Upwork and places like that and get them built for, you know, very low cost.
That's excellent advice. And I think that's definitely a way to go if you're not technically like sound there, or if you feel like you don't want to mess it up.
Here's the thing. You know, if you think about it, how much would that cost for you to just do that work in-house or even offshore to get somebody to answer phones for us? It used to cost us hundreds of dollars a week. And literally you take that 1 week's worth of pay and get something built that will take probably 80-90% of the load of customer inquiries off your table and also be able to help customers make better purchasing decisions. It's a no-brainer. It's time to get started, guys.
Beautiful. I love how you said that. And the thing is, I think the quality of that support and that help is going to be a lot better, right? Because obviously the chatbots are getting more sophisticated. The data that they're trained on is better. And so customers will have an amazing experience. And that's, you know, I think post-purchase or post-service, it's really important to have that kind of high quality.
Absolutely. Here's one thing that I really stress, you know, I don't like chatbots that people try to pass off as if they're not a chatbot. I think it is very, very important that you are transparent with people and let them know, hey, hi, I'm, you know, so-and-so, your AI chatbot. And that automatically sets people at ease and they know what to expect. And anytime inside of, you know, that experience, you can have them, give them an option to, you know, drop out and wait for a live customer support agent. That really changes the whole game, you know. But if you're trying to pass off your chatbot as if it's a real live agent, you're asking for trouble there.
Yeah, I love that distinction. It does matter. And when you think you're talking to a person and it's not, and you can kind of tell at some point during the conversation, it's like, oh crap.
Yep. You lose credibility. You know,
great
you
point.
Lose
great
credibility.
Point. Another way, like I think, and you correct me if you think there are some other ways to do this, but obviously as a small business, you might have some great access to information from your sales team or from like those that have been in the business the longest, and maybe even questions that you get on the phone a lot. It would be a great way to kind of start to collate information specific to your business to feed these chatbots.
100. And I mean, another thing is too, if you start recording these calls, mm-hmm. right? With your live agents, when we start using that to help train the chatbot.
Beautiful. Yes, that's a great point. Awesome. Well, look, we're going to take another track on this same kind of line of curiosity. How can we kind of use our behavior and natural inclination in terms of like visual search and related technologies? Is there anything that we can do there? Is there anything coming up that you think you're excited about with regards to like e-commerce and being able to use those behaviors to benefit the business?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, if you talk about humans, we're inherently visual creatures. And people don't understand this sometimes, but you recognize that as soon as the baby comes out, it starts recognizing your face, right? I mean, it can tell you from your wife or your husband and all that stuff. So, I mean, just from birth, we're very visual creatures and we process images way faster than we process text, right? I see you before I hear you, right? And I definitely can see the image before I start reading the text. So we're naturally drawn to visual stimulation. So I think visual search is a technology that we're starting to tap in and allow customers to search and discover products using images rather than keywords. And this is weird because I remember, I'm trying to think how long ago, you know, because Amazon, I really believe, is definitely a leader in a lot of this stuff. They tried visual search years ago. I even remember eBay had an app for visual search where you could take a picture of something and then it would show you other products that were similar to that, but it just wasn't ready. And we weren't ready because we weren't as visual as we are with our phones then as we are today. So I think that the natural inclination to use pictures to communicate and be inspired by stuff based on what we're doing on social is about to become the norm. I don't think it's completely there. And I'm not really 100% ready to make recommendations for small businesses on how you can do that or why you can do that or ways you can do that. I mean, before we get out of here, I'll give you a tool idea that's pretty good. So remind me, because I don't want to give away everything at the beginning.
Absolutely.
But remind me to tell you about a way to use visual search, because I mean, you know that ChatGPT has vision already, mm-hmm. right? So if ChatGPT can take an image and then tell you what that image is and give you a description of that image, how does that work for your website? How does that work for your small business? Just think about the ways that we can use that and implement that. So, I mean, out the box, I don't see a whole lot that's like, hey, go ahead and grab this right now, but it's coming.
Yeah, well, you kind of keyed on this. I think I've been most excited by the fact that we can now use text, like simple text phrases to identify things that are just as sophisticated as video, maybe even products and audio stuff. So if we can do that with our voice and with like just coming up with like ways to make it simpler, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I just don't have an image reference that I can share with a site to get a similar products. I would have to describe what I want. And that's also another great avenue into this.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's kind of amazing that we can actually talk to this thing and tell it what we're visualizing. When I say this thing, I'm talking about the AI. And the AI, which doesn't actually live in a real physical world, can come back and say, oh, that's a flower. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? How does it know what a flower smells, looks like, smells like? The concept is hard for me to really wrap my head around. But I don't have to know how the damn, you know, carburetor runs for me to drive the car from here to there. And that's the key thing. You don't have to know all the part. I mean, how many of us can build a damn car? It doesn't stop us from driving. So stop exactly. This. Like, I got to find out why does it? Why? Just use it. Get the car.
I love it. And that's the point. Like, things keep changing, but it's all about, well, from the product standpoint, from AI being used by the masses, it just has to be simple enough. And
yeah,
really, like, that's what happened with phones and calculators, right? Like, we were using other ways of calculating and doing math, and we were doing other things besides using a phone. We were just using it for voice calls, and now we can use it as a computer. So
yeah. Yes. Awesome.
So we'll switch gears a little bit and start to talk about a little bit more of the now. So what have you seen in terms of where we are, what works, and how do we create new opportunities? Because we're talking to people who are entrepreneurs, who are small businesses, medium-sized businesses. What can they do now to start to just be more comfortable with the tech and move forward?
To be more comfortable with the tech. That's interesting, because the problem we have is we've had the movies, right? So the fear of AI is based on it turning against us as humanity, because we've seen Terminator. We've seen iRobot, right? It's a common theme in science fiction films. So these scenarios have great entertainment for movies in Hollywood, but the reality of it is, AI is development, or the AI and the development of AI is just way more nuanced. You know, we're not trying to create weeds, if I create the stuff, but, you know, but it's not to create this dystopian future and to spread fear and uncertainty. We have to start prioritizing responsible AI, and we have to make sure that that's part of our own deployment and development inside of, you know, our organization. So that means designing AI systems with clear ethical principles, right? If you think about when we developed email, it took a while for us to get to the point where we had these ethical principles and human values in mind. If you remember, man, we used to get like, I mean, it was like the Wild Wild West. So we're going to go through a little bit of that with AI systems, because as we start bringing it online, there's going to be things that's going to pop up that we're going to have to get some guardrails around. So we need to have that. As I talked about earlier, you know, we have to have the transparency when it comes to AI and decisions that we make and how we use it. Of course, there's going to be government frameworks that's going to regulate to prevent the misuse of AI. And I think one of the most important things is the understanding of what AI is and how we should trust AI. And the deal is, there's a balance that comes with tools. So if you think about, you know, another AI tool that, you know, that we've been using for years is called Google, you know. There's no operator in the back end. When you type something in, she's not reading it, he's not reading it, and then saying, oh, let me look that up for you, and then come out, you know, that's all done with AI. So the deal is, for us to trust Google as a search engine, they have to be responsible with our data. So if we ever found, there've been, you know, times where we found like, oh, they're selling our data to, you know, Joe Schmo, and he's starting to give us ads. Well, there became pushback against that. And people are like, well, guess what? I'm not going to use the tool because you're not using my data trustworthy. Nobody, the government didn't have to step in, right? The user and the user base were the things that balance that trust. So that's the same thing that's happening and going to continue happening with all technology, including AI. So the fear, I think, is a little overwhelming, very powerful, but we have to understand that the foundation has already been here. We already are doing all kinds of things with technology, and AI is just another layer of that technology. We trust our phone not to, you know, give away the data on the phone to somebody that doesn't have our thumbprint. We're already here. And those same things are going to, you know, translate into this new form of tech, which is AI.
Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's interesting because we talked about the virtual assistants, right? And like, all these things are here to help us, but obviously it's a little scary because they are doing things that we never expected the machines or computers to do.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's what it is, right? Same thing with us moving from horses and buggies to cars, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, except on a whole different level, on a whole different scale. But that being said.
And a whole different speed.
Yes. It's a little scary. The speed is probably the scariest thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The nature of humans is such that we will be able to maintain. We'll be able to keep up. I mean, if history is any indicator, humans are going to be okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. If history, and it should be. So I think
it should be. I mean, what else we got to go off of?
Well, look, we have big creative minds, and that's why we think about the worst case scenarios, like the Terminator 2s, you know?
Exactly.
That's exactly it. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so I wanted to go back a little bit to the track that we were talking about, like virtual assistants and using technologies like that. I'm curious from your take and from kind of learning what's happening now. Do you think augmented and virtual reality are kind of ready for small and medium businesses to use? Or you feel like that's something that's kind of being developed now and it's just not there yet?
Oh no, I think it's ready right now. You know, so I think like one of the biggest pushbacks I always hear, people go, what about if they steal my data? I'm like, really? I mean, what data do you really have that's so important that we got to wall it off? I mean, really, realistically in our businesses, very little, right? Very little is the data that we have in our business so amazingly transformed. So I think part of it is our ego. We just think we're just so brand new. But in reality, you know, I don't know. Is this for children?
For children?
Yeah.
Oh, kind of keeping it a little PG.
Okay. PG, that's crap. How about that? That's bull crap.
That works.
You know, well, we have to get over some of these, you know, fears that we have. Most of us, all right, most of us don't even create our own product. You know, we're not manufacturers. There's very few people that I've ever met that manufacture in the e-commerce realm that manufacture their own product. They take that product idea, if it's their own product, they take that product idea to somebody else to manufacture. They share that idea with them. Those people start making the product for you, and then they send it to you from offshore a lot of times, right?
Scary thought, isn't it?
It would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. It would be. And here's the funny part. What I've just expressed and explained is probably just a small percentage of the 100 businesses that I'm thinking about. That might be 5 to 10 of them. The other 90% are just finding other shit somewhere else and putting their name on it. They're calling it private label. You know, what's private labeling? Private label is just like I snatched a label off of this cup and I put my own label on it. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And what that entails is they haven't put in any extra to the process. They haven't actually added any value. And I think that game is coming to an end, or it's becoming really, really competitive. So what we've got to start thinking about, even with AI tools, is how can we use AI tools to add value to what we're already creating so that ours is different from just throwing a label on it and calling it our own.
Yeah, you really kind of segued perfectly into my next question.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, obviously in SEO, it's the same consideration with like helpful content and with the way that people are able to replicate even like just text, like articles or content. It's so much easier now. So you have to really try to use, you know, a data enhancement or information gain or something that's the third, like first party data, if you can, to make your content more interesting, more informational, and to differentiate itself. So same thing with what's happening in AI. I imagine when you're building something, even for the product, like you want to stand out, you can't just do what everybody else is doing.
Absolutely.
You
know, so
that kind of drives me into this question, which is with the thousands of different generative AI tools kind of emerging, and trust me, there's a lot. I think I've seen at least 2,000 of them out there.
That was last week.
Yeah, that was last week. Exactly. Now it's probably doubled. What are the best ways that you like, do you think that we can kind of ground ourselves and develop clarity and kind of avoid getting paralyzed by indecision, because there are so many options? And like, you know, what do we set as our criteria? And, you know, from an e-commerce standpoint, from a business standpoint, maybe some of the considerations that are like more important for this audience to know, to kind of understand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the generative AI is both exciting and overwhelming at the same time. So what you want to do is, you know, avoid decision paralysis. And that's what a lot of us have. We just don't know which way. We're like, I don't know. Because given too many decisions, just the natural inclination of people is to not make a decision, right? Mm-hmm. If I've got too many pathways, I'll just sit on the bench. So what you want to do is start with your goals. What are your defined goals and use cases that you want to have, and do that first before you start even evaluating tools? What content do you need to generate? And then for what purpose? That's one of the things. So, at, you know, if you're looking at the tools, you want to do that based on first, you know, what's the quality of the output? What's the ease of use? How easy it is going to integrate with our existing systems? And of course, the cost. And then after all those things, you want to pilot test it before committing, because, you know, there's always, that's the other thing too. There's always going to be something else new. And I mean, that's what keeps you in business as SEO, is because it changes constantly, constantly, constantly. So much, in fact, that I need to hire somebody like you, right? Or engage somebody like you to help me keep up with the changes. Cause on the back end, I already know what I need to do. My thing that I'm good at is finding good opportunities with product. So I need to do that and then find the tools or the service providers that are going to help me on the back end. So you take that time to evaluate all of the goals and your use cases first before you even start getting out here, right? And then start with just one or two things. Start small. Don't try to do an overhaul. I just got off a phone call with a client, right? And this is interesting because I'm sitting here and I'm talking to her, and this might be relevant. If I get off, you know, that's me. I just bring me back.
You're good.
Right. But I got on the call with her and she said, you know, I joined this program, and the program has a lot of education. And also with the education, it gave us an all in one kind of tool. And I'm like, what do you mean all in one kind of tool? Well, I can do the email. It can do the landing pages. It can do the, you know, the this, that, and the third, right? It's just, I was like, really? That's interesting. And so she's like, I stopped all of the subscription based things that I had that were doing that. And now I can't get the tool to work the way I want. And it's like, it's taking longer and longer for me to ramp up than I thought it would. I'm like, wait, what? Okay. I'm like, well, how much were you spending on your other tool? And she's like, well, about, you know, $200 a month. It's like, okay, okay. And then I was like, well, what is your cost of your highest selling product? So she's like, we would do like 4,000 of this one SKU a month. And I can't do that right now because I don't have the tool. I'm like, go turn on the damn $200 tool again.
Yeah.
Well, right. I'm like, what would you got to think about, man? You got to build the bridge before you take. I mean, just because you give me a free house, I'm not going to move my children to an entirely different school district where the school might not be as good just so I can be in the free house. You got to think about all the downstream impacts, you know, before you start jumping in. So I get it. AI is great. But before you jump and say, oh, we're going to do this now, we're going to fire all of our people that are on the phone and we're going to build a chatbot. How about we test the chatbot out first before we make those moves? Those are kind of things, you know, that, you know, don't get overbuilt with the hype. Because the AI selling guy on the phone will tell you everything you want to hear.
And that's never changed. I mean, that's
never changed, right?
Right? Yeah.
Never changed. Matter of fact, it gets better because the AI is writing a script for him now.
Yeah, beautifully said. And the interesting thing about all of that is, as you mentioned, careful steps, but also be willing to test things, right? It's just that you don't want to replace everything before you know it works for you.
Absolutely, man. And take it step by step, one at a time. You don't have to eat the whole cookie at one setting. You don't have, We don't have to do that. We didn't build our businesses that way.
Yeah, you don't want to destroy it overnight either by doing something that's very harmful.
Exactly. It took me 6 extra months to leave my job. I already said when I was going to, transition from my business to working full time in my business for my old job. The timeline I put in my head ended up taking me 6 extra months, but I was willing to make sure all the things were in place before I made that jump.
Yeah, you did it. Like, you needed to have a level of comfort, and that's important.
It's so important.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I remember that. And I think most people that struggle with that just have to have a little planning, and it goes a really long way.
Long way. Long way, bro. Do it, guys.
Love it. All right. So with that, let's talk about the future, because I think everybody's also curious. What are we coming into? How much do we already have in terms of potency for all these opportunities? I think in your mind, like, what's the winning gambit for the future?
Generative AI for content creation. All right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, AI powered tools are currently and will continue to make it easier to create high quality product descriptions, generate images, videos, other marketing content. We're going to be able to do it faster and at scale. So that's going to help SMBs compete with those larger brands in terms of content richness and variety, right? Mm-hmm. Because before, we would make it just for a single audience. Now we're going to be able to actually create content at scale for all of our different audiences. I think that's going to be amazing, right? Conversational AI, which you talked about before, and I think that's going to be amazing for personalization. You know, advances in natural language processing, machine learning is going to enable us to create more human-like experiences and be aware of how we can interact with natural language with these AI LLMs, large language models. So I think that's crazy cool. Virtual shopping assistants will engage our customers in natural language and provide recommendations and help them with other complex tasks, getting them all the way through the process to payment. So I think that's coming. Supply chain optimization. I mean, we do that right now. If you're dealing with, an Amazon kind of platform right now, they're able to do demand in a very amazing way, which allows them to mostly, get products delivered to you in 48 hours. I think we're going to be able to start duplicating some of that where we have an understanding of when to purchase more. Where to place it if we got multiple warehouses that we can do that and help us to deal with demand forecasting for our inventory management, delivery logistics, and all that kind of stuff. We're going to drive way more speed and efficiency in those areas. And then emotion, which is, I don't want people to freak out, but it is going to freak you out. All right. But emotional AI is really going to be able to understand consumers based on their facial expression, if it's a camera instance, or the words that they're using, the tone of their voice. AI can analyze all of that stuff and other nonverbal cues that will provide deeper insights into customer emotions and attitudes. That's going to enable us to be more empathetic and have a more personalized experience. So I think those are some of the things that we're going to see in the very near future. That's probably just going to change things a lot for us.
You just got me thinking about Minority Report. I'm like, oh boy.
Totally. We're totally here. We are here. Yeah, it's coming. I mean, you think about it, right? That whole thing that he was doing with his hands and he put the gloves on. I mean, is that not what we see with, Apple Pro Vision? Same thing. We're here. So,
great point.
Yeah, we're here, man. A lot of stuff we see in movies are not really necessarily as far off into future than they're really based on things that are already in development a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well said. I mean, and that's the thing. I want us to make sure that we leave on a note where people understand that fear is you should be courageous in the face of fear, because that fear should be a propellant to get you to be better, more performant, right? And better at thinking on your feet, rather than, you know, paralyzed by what is to be and to think of all the negative things, because all that negative stuff can be very positive.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I get it. We already talked about it a little bit, but the speed of AI and its innovation is absolutely remarkable. I can't even express to you how things are going to change and how rapidly things are going to be implemented, right? Because it's just emerging all the time. But the key for small businesses is to stay informed about the advances and to experiment with applications that make sense and align with your goals and your customers' needs. If you do that, you'll stay above the fray, all right? At least have our head, you know, above the water, so we're not being drowned out by all the competition. And it's going to come. It's going to come. But overall, I'm extremely optimistic about the future of AI and e-commerce. I'm extremely optimistic.
I love that. And, I was going to ask you real quick, because obviously you gave us a lot to think about, but, and you may not be a gambling man. This is a thing I like to leave to the end. Out of curiosity, what do you think is going to happen in the next 6 months? Like, is there anything that you feel is going to like really change things, like even more than it's already done in the last year? That might be.
So all the signals are pointing to ChatGPT, I'm going to say 4.5, okay? And what's happening is that the competition, you know, Google versus, you know, Amazon versus OpenAI versus Microsoft, they're constantly trying to one up each other. And so what was done last year when ChatGPT 4 came out, they were hinting at 5. And he's like, 5 will probably come out in 2025, kind of. I think what we've seen with, or at least what I've seen with Anthropic and Claude, which is another competitor to ChatGPT, and Claude 3, the amazing output that thing is giving, it's kind of making ChatGPT 4 look old. And if this catches on, well, then what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to go ahead and rush the release. So I think we will see a big change when they bring out Sora. And have you seen the Sora?
Yeah, I talked about it on the last podcast. Did it was you? Like insane. Yeah.
Did you? So let me give you, and I don't know if you talked about this, and you'll tell me. So here's the thing with Sora, which I alluded to earlier in my answer, is that Sora has the ability to represent and understand a 3D modeled world, not just in 3D, but also with physics. And that means it's able to really grasp an environment that is as realistic as we've ever seen. And the ability to be able to do that at scale and instantaneously, the amount of processing and the intelligence, artificial intelligence, that it takes to do that is beyond, man. Dude, the processing that's going on just to make those images, it's not the images that is the freaky thing. It's the processing that's going on to make them. That's like, dude, we're in a whole nother world.
Yeah. On that point, I did happen to see, I think this is like actually coming to fruition. The Black Mirror, one of the last seasons, the Black Mirror, they had the kind of use of a celebrity's likelihood and like in an episode they've never been in before. This plus being able to kind of, I just don't know how actors are going to stay. Like, honestly, actors and scriptwriters at some point, there's going to be a different layer, a different balance.
Already, right? That was a great episode. I forgot about that episode.
It was an excellent episode.
It was.
But, you know, I feel like we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out.
And we will figure it out. But I mean, here, I live in Atlanta. And, you know, one of our biggest industries, of course, is the Hollywood industry. And we had, you know, Tyler Perry, who had an $800 million plan to expand his studio. He's like, after seeing Sora, he's like, no, we don't need that. We're not spending that money because we're going to be able to do it with computers. That's crazy, man.
Nuts.
But you know, I don't know what that's going to mean. And another thing, just while we're on that, I'm just going to tell you this. When we used to talk about AI, we used to talk about it before we are where we are today. We used to talk about it in layers, right? And there would be the low level, the first thing it would take over with the untrained workers or the low trained workers, the blue collar. Then next it would take over, you know, some of the white collar, middle level positions. And then finally it'll start encroaching into the artist, you know, and the creatives. But guess what? It did the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So we don't know where this is going.
We don't, but you know, I think we'll just follow you to make sure that we
Yeah,
know what's going
exactly.
on.
That's what exactly.
Thank you, John. Look, this has been extremely enlightening and entertaining. I think, like for me, I always love our conversations because I'm always learning something new. With that, I want everybody to buy John's book
No, don't buy
if you
my
want to
book.
learn
Don't buy
more.
my book. Yeah, you don't
Really?
want that book. No, you don't want that book.
I think
That
it's
book,
awesome, though. I think it's
I do
awesome.
think it's awesome. I do think it's awesome. Go buy it. Okay, fine. All right. But the
Well,
thing is, go ahead, go
yeah.
ahead. No, tell me.
I was just gonna say, like, you know, people, even if you don't get the book, follow him on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I think you're all under the moniker, business moniker of Colderize, right?
Yes, colder ice everywhere. But here's what I
Nice.
got for my econ folk. All right. Here's the deal. And that's what I was telling you at the beginning. I had something for you. It's called Ecom AI Boss, right? If you go to ecomaiboss.com, it's a free tool. The only caveat is you do have to have a paid version of ChatGPT because it's a GPT. All right. But what it helps you do is to write product titles and descriptions, right? So the biggest problem I ever had as an e-commerce person is I would go out and I would find new products all the time. Like, oh, I love that. Let's grab that, grab that, grab that. That'll work. That'll work. And it would sit in my warehouse while I was waiting to write the product title and description. That was the hardest part for me. So this tool will actually take a product, you just give it some details, and it will write you a killer product title and description. Now,
That's an amazing drop right there.
it's I'm telling you guys, and you better get it while it's free, because I'm gonna charge for that shit one day. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. No, but like that's a great drop because again, something simple like that makes the world a difference, shaves off a lot of time, and also maybe
Yeah.
just gets you out of the funk if you're like wondering what you should start to put together.
Yeah, it was just got rid of the blank page for me, you know? And then once you do
Absolutely.
that, you tailor it, and then now you're ready to go to market.
Well, thank you, John. Until next time. We're probably.
I
Thanks,
can't
John.
wait.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you for tuning in to Phraseology Plus AI. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it. Don't forget to sign up for our email list at phraseological.us. Give us a raving 5-star review anywhere you get your podcast. Thanks in advance. Remember, stay curious, stay informed, and keep listening for more. Until next time, take care and happy listening.